Triton Spotlight, we're talking UC San Diego fall sports. With the 2022 season set to get underway, you'll hear from head coaches Ricky Ludes from women's volleyball and Matt Ustaszewski from men's water polo, and they'll fill us in on what to expect in their 2022 season, which are right around the corner. That's all coming up in a moment in the Triton Spotlight. And with that, we welcome you to episode 57 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm your host, Jeff Turiel, and whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or on UCSDTritons.com, we're so happy that you've joined us this week. We've once again got a lot to get to in this episode of TritonCast. Before we get to this week's conversations, let's go around campus. The women's soccer season is underway. The Tritons battled tough against 17th-ranked Pepperdine last weekend, and UC San Diego will visit Cal and Northern Arizona this week. That Cal match will be televised nationally on Pac-12 networks. And men's soccer will begin its season Thursday night with a match at Pacific and Sunday at number 22 Santa Clara. You can get a preview of those contests along with stats and video links on UCSDTritons.com. And our Coach's Corner series winds down as we check in with softball head coach Patty Gerkins. You can read more on the website. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. First up, our conversation with women's volleyball head coach Ricky Ludes. Now in his 13th season, the two-time Olympic gold medalist reflects on what his team learned in its first Division I season last year. Earlier this week, Ludes joined the voice of Triton women's volleyball, Brian Fenley, to chat about the 2022 campaign.
Going into year two of the Big West era for Ricky Ludes as we get ready for UC San Diego women's volleyball season about to get started. And Ricky, you and I, we call matches on the men's side, so we understand how to hold up a conversation. We're going to look at this season, look at this team and what you have in store. But my first question to you is this: knowing that you're such a great analyst when it comes to on the TV side, if you were to be my analyst for your first game or any match this upcoming year, what would you, the analyst, say to you, the coach, going into the 2022 season?
First, let's see. You stumped me right away on the first question here, but I would say, take what it is. Play as hard as you can. Just have my goal is really to have all the players just playing as hard as they can all the time when they're on the court, and good things will happen if they're doing that. So I guess that would be my advice to my team as well, or to the coach that we were talking to, myself.
What does the makeup of your team look like this year in comparison to last year? What's going to be similar as far as a team identity? But what's going to be different as well?
Well, we have kind of the core of players coming back, or a good core of players that were young last year and last season, really some freshmen that kind of stood out for us and were a big part of the team. So that part is coming back, but what we don't have is the setter, who is basically the quarterback of the team, as you know, that position. So that is going to be a huge change for us to see where and what our identity is, because a lot of times that kind of dictates it. You know, having the person who is running the show really kind of sets the table for everybody. And so that is going to be the interesting part, seeing how that plays out on our team, because I feel like we have some good pieces, some good new players coming in. But it's going to really, our whole offense and everything that we're doing is kind of predicated around how we are in that setting position.
What about elements of this team that are going to shock people? What is it about this team that's going to bring that shock and awe, where it could be an underrated part of what you guys are about? You go into matches and you're going to catch people off guard.
Well, I think we're always going to be underdogs in a lot of things, even though the coaches poll came out for the Big West and we aren't at the bottom. But I think coming into a Division I setting from a Division II, the expectations are usually that those teams are not as good as Division I. I think we've always believed and known that we are capable of competing and playing in Division I. And now it's a matter of getting to the next level and being able to compete at a higher level. I think we can, and we showed last year, we competed with everybody that we played, and I think we're a couple of steps away from winning those matches and being a team that can contend for the conference championship. And so, you know, how are we going to take that next step? How are we going to get over the hump? And a lot of it is adding pieces here and there and keeping developing all the players that are coming in and getting those expectations up to where they're believing that they should be competing for the championship.
Well, as you were saying, first, you've shown that you belong. And then, like you just said, now taking the next step to cross the threshold and win more games and do it against these top tier foes. When you talk about that needing to have that self-belief and what it takes to get the team to that next level, what can you say to your players? Aside from what you do from a roster standpoint to get them most positioned to win, but what can you say to them to foster that self-belief, to know that no matter what's in front of us, we can take on the challenge?
You know, I think most of it as an athlete is believing in what you're doing and how you're practicing and how you're developing is working, and that you are getting better and will be able to, keep improving, so that if you are a little bit behind, then, you know, the next time that you go out, you're going to be better and you're going to have a better chance. And I think if as a coach, if we're putting them in an atmosphere that they feel like that they are working on parts of their game and getting better at things in their game, that they feel like they're going to have success. And so I think as a coach, we just try to, relay that as like, you know, trust the process, trust what you're doing, and that this is going to help you in those tight situations, in those one or two point swings that actually change a game and make, the difference of winning and losing. It's such a fine line sometimes when you're getting into those, 25, 23 games and the things that, one play that happens that might be a difference of winning and losing. And then once you start doing that and getting those feelings of like, oh, okay, we were behind and we still came back and won and we can do this. And, you know, all those situations that you start getting that feeling and that confidence as a player that you can win and come back and win and do those things. I think that is, that's what gives you that confidence to get to that next level.
On top of the confidence, Ricky, how do you think wins and losses for this season can be predicated on the work that you're doing in the lead up to the season, and how that can play a big part in the win and loss column and how you guys fare this year?
Yeah. I mean, obviously all the lead up into playing is the important part. You know, it's the practicing and it's doing all that stuff that is going to get you those wins. And so that's something that you have to instill in the whole team and the players who are not actually on the court during those matches. You know, they're a huge part of being able to get better and win. And we have right now 17 healthy people on the roster, and a lot of them will not be playing a lot. And it's going to be a time when, you know, we get into the season where all of a sudden some of those players are not seeing the court, and we have to keep telling them, hey, you're a big part of this and where we're going, because every day in practice, you're helping everybody get better while you're getting better. So, you know, I know it's cliche, but it's such a thing with, you know, buying that team aspect and feeling like you're part of a team, even though you might not be one of the 6-7 players who are getting most of the playing time.
And how does the team itself bond? What is their camaraderie like, not just on the court, but outside of it as well? Because we know, Ricky, so many successful teams, they are in such synergy in whatever sport, not just because they know how to play with one another on the court or whatever sport it is, but they are very close and tight away from the sport, whether it's something social or studying together. How do they find a way to come back to one another in no matter what they're doing, your players?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I feel like in the women's side of the game, those things are much more important. The bonding and the camaraderie and believing in each other and feeling that they have their teammates are believing in them as well. I think when you when we get on the men's side, I think players can play with each other, even though they might not like each other a whole lot, they can still find a way how to compete with each other. And I think on the women's side, it's much more of a camaraderie where they have to feel that the support from everybody around them. And so we do a lot of things where we do some bonding activities, trying to get them to understand maybe that they come, there are different personalities and the way that some people react to failure or success is different from what they might do or what they might want a reaction from their teammates. So we do a lot of things, especially in the preseason right now. You know, we have some kind of fun things that they do together and talk about different types of things and situations and personalities so that hopefully when they are on the court, that they are feeling that love and support from each other.
For as much as they support one another, for as much as you support them, how do they support you?
You know, they support me, I think, every day, and that I feel like they're trying not to disappoint me in a lot of ways. And I feel like that's a great thing. You know, at times when, you know, as long as they feel like I want them to do well and do their best, they're trying not to disappoint me. And so, you know, they do, again, they work hard and they do everything that I ask. So that's all I want.
That sounds like a recipe for success. And Ricky, as we wrap up this conversation, so excited to watch you and to call your matches and to watch year two in the Big West kick off with a lot of exciting matches coming forth this season on the road. We're going to have 13 home matches, if I'm not mistaken, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Ricky Lutis, so glad to have you on with us and really appreciate your time and previewing the season and giving us a up close and personal glance at what it's like to be Ricky Lutis.
Well, thank you, Brian. See you this year.
Thanks a lot, Brian. The Tritons open their season this weekend at the San Diego State Invitational. UC San Diego will also host a six-game tournament on September 9th and 10th at Lion Tree Arena. For tickets, visit the Triton box office online at ucsdtritons.com/tickets. Next up, the Triton spotlight turns to men's water polo, where first-year head coach Matt Eustacheski, a 2004 Triton grad, fills us in on preparations for the upcoming season. We couldn't not ask him for a Denny Harper story. ESPN's Steve Quist caught up with Usha to preview the season.
So, Matt, you played for and are taking over for legendary coach Denny Harper, who coached the team for 42 seasons. What'd you learn from him in terms of running the program?
Denny was a great influence in, you know, understanding how to provide balance in your sport and in your life. I think he was, you know, really good at understanding that our scholar athletes have tremendous academic goals that they want to achieve, whether here at UC San Diego, and our jobs are to help them become the best water polo players they can be, but never losing sight of those academic and career goals that they're going to have. And so I think, you know, understanding what it means to represent Triton men's water polo is something that is collectively and something that we strive to make a difference, not just in the pool, but in the classroom and the community. And I think he's been really a positive influence on so many of our scholar athletes over the years that it's just exciting to now find myself, you know, trying to continue that legacy.
You can't stay somewhere 75 or 42 years and not have somebody say that you're a character. Do you have any good stories about Denny that are suitable for air?
Sure. I mean, Denny, I say this all the time. Denny was really fun to play for. He was really fun to coach with. You know, he was serious about, you know, winning, and he wanted to bring home conference championships and compete for national championships. But he also knew that to get the most out of our scholar athletes and to get the most out of our staff, they had to enjoy doing it. And so, I think, you know, from his legendary beach workouts, to obviously the way he set up our competition schedule to be able to play against the best teams in the country. He was never too high and he was never too low. And so I think, you know, going into big Final Four games, it would be so surprising at how he can find moments of levity and bring humor into a situation that could be very stressful for a lot of young scholar athletes. I think those are the things I'll always remember, is how, you know, he was able to keep things in perspective and try to keep us loose. We never felt, you know, too much pressure and too tight, even in the biggest environments.
So most of the other teams in the athletic department have already transitioned to Big West play. For you guys, this is the final season in the Western Water Polo Association before you move on. And actually, the conference adds men's water polo next season. What are the goals for your team here in this final year of the WWPA?
I think our goals are consistent to what they've been. You know, we want to be a top echelon water polo program. We want to be competing for a national championship. And to do that, we have to compete for a conference championship. And our conference has, you know, obviously been a long part of our history. Danny Harper, obviously, Jeff Heidmus, the old coach at Air Force, were, you know, critical in creating the WWPA and establishing that for the 1989 season that ultimately was the first time that they got the bid to NC2As. And so, you know, it's bittersweet that we'll be leaving the conference. That's been, you know, part of our history, but the expectations remain the same. And I think we have a hungry group that wants to compete at the highest level. And if we're able to bring home a conference championship, that would be, you know, the icing on the cake, but we want to put ourselves in the national contention as well. And I think joining the Big West will be something that will raise the bar for everyone, and something that we really want to be a part of. And we think it's, you know, tremendous for the growth of water polo in this country.
So your season's going to start with the annual Triton Invitational September 3rd and 4th there at Canyon View Aquatic Center. And it's a big event. I mean, 15 teams in there. It's always a lot of fun. What excites you most about that upcoming event?
Obviously, it's the start of the season, you know, and so there's always excitement wherever we are. But traditionally, we've been able to be at home. And we can kind of open the men's water polo season at our tournament. And so I think last year was unique in the sense that, you know, unfortunately, we weren't able to have a 2020 fall season like many other teams. So last year, just the excitement of being back and having, you know, spectators and being able to play the game that, you know, the kids all love to play was great. This year, I think, you know, there's that added intensity of the start of the season, but the competition level is really high. You know, we have some really high caliber programs coming down to Triton Pool and Canyon View Pool, and just to be able to play against the best teams in the country is something that I know all of our scholar athletes are looking really forward to.
Yeah, piggybacking on that, with fans coming back, right? It's like September 21st, one of those biggies going to be LMU, right? You get a chance to host them. Students are back on campus. It's called the annual Battle of the Kings. It's always a raucous environment. How can you feed off of that energy?
The energy is amazing. I mean, you can't really describe it. It's one of those, you know, pretty indescribable feelings to see a standing room only event and, you know, have, you know, people like can't even get into the arena to watch the game because they weren't there on time. And it's a sold out, you know, event that provides just the greatest atmosphere. And we're really fortunate to have such a supportive athletic department that has, you know, made such an emphasis on aquatic sports here. You know, we have student athletes from other teams that are always excited for the event. All of the kids on campus get to experience what water polo is like here on the first day. And I know that those environments are, you know, create a contagious feeling that the guys, you know, want to play in the biggest and best environments possible. And I think they get it right out of the gate, you know, to start with our home opener being such a unique thing in the sport of water polo, but it's been something that's so consistent down here. So I advise anyone, if you can ever get to that home opener, the Battle of the Kings, it's a unique opportunity to see the sport played in front of that kind of live entertainment experience, and to get here early.
There you go.
Otherwise, yeah.
Forgive me for not remembering. Was it was it you guys that had the last second goal last year that was the miraculous kind of walk-off winner?
We scored a goal with about 11 seconds left. So
yeah. And who was that against? And who, I mean, that was a raucous environment too, right?
That was the game. That was Loyola Marymount at home. I believe that was September 22nd, 2021. LMU was a strong team, and they always come out firing in this moment. You know, that environment is just as exciting for the road team as it is for the home team sometimes. And we had to kind of claw back, and we were able to hit a pretty crazy shot from returning senior Vedran Latkovic. Equally as important, we got a very impressive field block on the last possession of the game with under 11 seconds by former team captain Calder Hilda Jones to seal the victory. But yeah, they don't get too much better than that in terms of the excitement down to the wire, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember watching that video. It was exceptional. So who are some of the key returners, and then who are some of the key newcomers that all of us should look out for this season?
Sure. We have some great senior and upperclassmen leadership. I think returning team captain Caden Likens will be a junior for us, and he's been with us since the fall of 2019, and he'll be a returning team captain. We have in goal, Alex Nemeth will be a senior goalie, and you know, he's also being pushed by two younger goalies, Logan Estes and Nikita Valajev. And, you know, they're building a good connection there in the goal. I mentioned Vedran before. Him, along with Brendan Nugent, Manuel Augusto, will really help as seniors, providing leadership and understanding, you know, the rigors of the season and the ups and down nature of our sport, and being able to focus on, you know, making it one possession at a time and one game at a time. And so I think they're poised to have big years. We got a really good incoming class, kids that have been working hard the first few days of training. One of our local scholar athletes, Bennett Axline, from Cathedral Catholic High School, has been really making an immediate impact in our trainings. And as well as Luca Rago from Campo Lindo High School up in Northern California. They brought a good interior presence along with the other incoming freshmen that are learning the game and learning how to be a Triton men's water polo player. And that's obviously not just what we do in the pool, but being good teammates and good members of the community. I think they're right on board.
Yeah, and certainly you should know, right, having played here, correct?
What was your experience like? It was great. It was great. I mean, I had a unique opportunity that I got to play at my local community college for 2 years, Sierra Community College, and went to the state championships in 2000. And at the same time, UC San Diego, you know, found themselves in the national championship game. You know, the 2000 Final Four with Denny at the helm, obviously, and our women's coach, Brad Kreutzkamp, as his assistant coach. Our current volunteer assistant coach, Glenn Bush, was in the goal in that game, and they were able to beat USC in an amazing semifinal 9-8 at Pepperdine, and ended up as a Division III school just moving to Division II. They found themselves playing for the Division I national championship in 2000. And I had applied to UCSD, and it was definitely a school I was interested in, but to see them play at that level and to experience a championship national championship contender team, even at the D2 level, competing against D1, was something that was really like eye-opening to me. And then being able to be a part of all those returners come back in 2001 and win another conference championship in 2002, be a team captain with, you know, my good friend and co-captain Matt Ellis in 2003, to be able to, you know, establish a leadership role and, you know, kind of be more of a coach in the water and learn the experience from both sides of the spectrum, if you will. It really helped develop into kind of the coach that I would want to be down the road. And I was able to have, you know, some fortune and opportunities down here working with Denny, not just as a player, but then early coaching experiences to have him as a mentor was fascinating, and really would not be where I am without his experience helping me along the way.
So how competitive will the WWPA be this year? And then what would constitute a successful year for you guys?
The WWPA is going to be extremely competitive. There's no doubt about that. I think everyone has, you know, it's not just us and UC Davis leaving to the Big West. The West Coast Conference has established men's water polo. So Loyola Marymount, Cal Baptist University, Air Force University, And Santa Clara University will all be joining the West Coast Conference too. So the for all intents and purposes, this is, you know, the last hurrah of the WWPA from our perspective, you know, from our team. So everyone wants to win it. A lot of teams return a lot of really talented players and some great coaches on our conference that have established really structured programs. And, you know, our expectation is always to compete for a conference championship, you know, to compete at the highest level. And so success for us is, you know, improving every single day and getting better in every competition we have to play at the best of our abilities. And hopefully we are competing for that conference championship and getting a bid back to the NC2A championships.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Steve. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Steve. The Tritons open the season with the annual Triton Invitational Labor Day weekend. For tickets, go to ucsdtritons.com/tickets. You won't want to miss an all-new episode of TritonCast next week. Coming up on episode 58, we're talking all things cross-country with head coach Nate Garcia. The Triton alum talks about how campus has changed over the last couple decades and so much more. You won't want to miss it. Thank you for listening to this week's show. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate the show, write us a brief review. And don't forget, you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms, now including Google Podcasts, by searching TritonCast wherever you get your pods. For more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you have suggestions for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next week for episode 58.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter at TritonCast.